Hello, my friends. This is the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you. Also, Dave Buhner, our co-host in studio today with us. And we are raising children out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado during the demise of Western civilization, the breakdown of faith, family, and freedom, the breakdown of sexuality, the breakdown of morality. A lot of things breaking down right now. It's basically when a civilization crumbles. This is what it looks like. And a very important, I think, symbolic event happened at the Capitol this week in Colorado. Colorado is such an important state. Seems to be that swing state. Seems to be the state that leads the charge. And where the tug of war is happening between the old Christian order, the old morality, and the new morality, which is endorsing just about everything that the old morality would not endorse. Let's just put it that way. Okay, so here's what happened at the Capitol this week. Didn't know about this until Dave told me about 5 minutes ago, and I found it on the internet. The governor of Colorado signed a bill legalizing adultery in Colorado. I mean, that's really significant. Now, of course, it was an old law on the books. It hasn't really been looked at for a long time. Somebody actually found the lost book of the law, blew out the dust, and said, whoa, this is a stupid law. It wasn't exactly a Josiah moment.
Right.
It was a Hickenlooper moment. And, Dave, again, a couple things here. Number one, I think it's instructive that the governor, Hickenlooper, signed the bill. And you explained why. I mean, there's a connection here, I think. He's getting a divorce.
Now, whether that correlates or not, I don't know.
We don't know.
A couple other correlations that are important. One is he's a politician.
Yeah.
And we know that politicians, they do things for their constituents.
And understand that Bill Owens, a Republican governor several years ago, had something of a similar problem.
He did.
And now we have Hickenlooper taking care of the basic issue, and that would be legalizing adultery because, you know, you wouldn't really want any future governor arrested for adultery, say. That wouldn't be good. Now, again, we're not putting this together right now.
I want to be careful not to accuse him of adultery.
We don't know.
But based on track record of other politicians, would you want to go into a divorce hearing with a felony?
Uh-huh. Right. And, of course, the adultery law, based on biblical law over 1,500 years since roughly King Alfred, and then probably even further back. But, Dave, here's another point that needs to be made. Caesar Augustus, you remember Caesar Augustus? A man who...
I'm not that old.
Who was important, really, in establishing the Roman Empire. He would be horrified by what Governor Hickenlooper did. Because Augustus understood that if you break down the family, break down civilization, they would have no empire without it. He understood that very well. That's why he's a pro-family guy and developed a lot of tax breaks for people having kids, that kind of thing. And in A.D. or B.C. 8, 8 years before Christ, Augustus Caesar exiled Ovid. Now, if you need to know something about Ovid, he was the edgy poet of the day. Now, you know, not quite as edgy as the guys who produced the homosexual movie that came out.
Brokeback Mountain.
Thank you. Not that edgy. But he had a little homosexual stuff, a little bit. But the thing that he did that really irritated Augustus was that he tried to change the cultural perspectives towards the sin of adultery. And for that reason, Ovid, the poet Ovid, was exiled. And, by the way, it wasn't until Christopher Marlowe who, by the way, was a rising playwright around the same time as William Shakespeare. Christopher Marlowe was one of the men who revived Ovid and, of course, developed his own homoerotic poetry and plays, and then shared some of that with Shakespeare, and the rest is history. And if you want to read some of this history, you need to get my book Apostate, coming out in about 2 to 3 weeks. Okay, now, the point being that, Dave, the Roman Empire, during the time when it was trying to establish itself, understood the danger of breaking down the family structure. But, of course, that's been done for the last 50, 60 years in America, and the divorce rate is through the ceiling. 70-80% of kids born without fathers in the inner cities, and some 50% of kids born without fathers to women 30 years of age. So we've already destroyed our civilization anyway, and who cares what the governor's doing signing these bills?
Well, he is letting the law follow the people rather than the people follow the law. We're no longer a nation of law. We're a nation of a democracy. Look, this bill, this law, was a godly law. God created a remedy for adultery. You know what it was? You know what it was. It was death.
Yeah.
Because it is the very destruction of the pillar, of the molecular unit of society. So what the governor just did is he said, go out and commit capital crimes because you're going to do it anyway. It's like saying to a group of rapists, hey.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Nothing we're going to do about it. And Dave, it's also the end of a civilization. The pagans, again, the pagans were careful in some of these areas. The pagans understood that you break down the family, you're breaking down the very foundation of human society, your social systems. Now, of course, the modernists, the Margaret Meads of the world and the Margaret Sangers of the world, and the Karl Marxists said, who cares about the family? Karl Marx says, abolish the family in the Communist Manifesto, and everybody's been working very, very hard to accomplish that agenda ever since. And all of these laws are just one more effort to destroy our civilizations, something that many of these pagan governments would never have done. But we're so far past that. America is an apostate nation and doesn't really care about those basic moral structures that really are needed to sustain civilizations and empires and nations in years to come. So the fact of the matter is, friends, if you want to salvage civilization, you're going to have to stay tuned to our radio program, and better yet, open the Word of God and train your children in the Word of God, because future civilizations will be formed by people like us, not by people like Governor Hickenlooper. Okay, well, in a moment, we're going to come back with something even more important, I think, for the average person listening to us now. My guess is most people aren't dealing with this particular issue, but the rise in pornography is mind-blowing, especially among fundamentalist Christians. All right? We're going to talk about that in just a moment. Some data that you need to see from CovenantEyes.com. We'll be back in just a moment.
Every year, Generations with Vision sponsors a family economics conference somewhere in America. This year, we are sponsoring two conferences, one in Washington State and the other in St. Louis, Missouri. For families who want to reintegrate the family into a family economic vision, for families who want to find ways to mentor their sons and daughters into the family economy, this is just the conference for you. How do you choose the optimum business dreams for your family? How do you integrate your children into the family economy? What about budgets and debt and capital investments? And what about inheritance and taking care of grandpa and grandma along the way? We'll have young entrepreneur panels, mom and daughter panels, farming panels, retail and e-commerce panels, audience surveys, and some great keynote speakers, including free-range farmer Joel Salatin, entrepreneur Eric Weir, and Kevin Swanson. Join us for our four-day mega conference in St. Louis or the two-day fall conference in Olympia, Washington. Register today at FamilyEconomics.com. That's FamilyEconomics.com.
Back on the Generations Radio broadcast, Kevin Swanson, your host, with you today as we talk about what is going on with our society out there. The governor of Colorado has just signed the adultery law and legalizing adultery in the state of Colorado. And this comes with Newsmax.com. And Dave, as I'm looking at this article, I'm thinking, what in the world is Kevin Lundberg, my friend Kevin Lundberg, doing in this article? Turns out, you know, he's limping up to explain it once more, as the gods of the copybook headings limp up to explain it once more. But, said the article, you know, it's all, you know, goody, 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 the adultery thing's good to go everywhere in Colorado. And then there's a big but in the middle of the article, a big but. But Senator, Republican Senator Kevin Lundberg, who opposed the bill, argues the law is not archaic and moral standards continue to be important. Okay, so just, you know, it's nice to have kind of the loyal opposition showing up, Dave, even though severely outnumbered. In fact, I was just in a meeting with him 3 days ago. So, right. So good man of God, appreciate the man, but he's standing in the middle of this. Is he tilting at windmills here?
No, because Don Quixote was tilting at windmills and he saw something that wasn't there. Kevin Lundberg is actually going after something that's real and something that truly is dangerous. Now, the odds are stacked against him. We understand that, but the truth, speaking truth to power has always been a virtue of the liberals, so they ought to love the man. Look, if you were to take a survey of brides and grooms on their wedding day, you know, they're coming down the aisle, people are throwing rice, and you say to them, how important do you think fidelity to each other is?
Mm-hmm.
My guess is the vast majority, somewhere about 90%, would say that fidelity to that marriage, in other words, not committing adultery, is pretty significant.
Yeah.
At least on their wedding day.
It's got to be like 98%. I mean, it's got to be really high. What's the guy's going to say? I don't know. What's she going to say? I don't know. Married? I'm not sure. You know, we'll see how things work out.
We'll see. Well,
you don't want to marry that guy.
No, and that's what happens is they're not getting married,
uh-huh.
And that leads into the whole cultural decay is that women and men are not getting married, or they're putting it away till very late in life, and they're committing fornication like crazy. I think that right now, many of these women who are getting married, and they're 28, 29, they're 30 years old, they're you know, wanting to get a man before it's too late, this might be their 30th lover.
Yeah. Dave, this is I think it's ChristianPost.com. I just got this. All you need to read is the headline. The CDC has come out with a number, 110,197,000 venereal infections in the United States. The nation is creating new STIs faster than new jobs or college grads. Okay, so for what it's worth, faster than the number of college grads coming off.
So
the number of new jobs.
So the STDs are now standard.
STDs are happening in America. Okay, so just 110,197,000. Okay, they've got the number. At least they got the number. You know, that's a lot of people.
And the real enemies are big gulps.
There's 300 million people in America. 100 million are kids, you know, or 120 million are kids. Okay? So out of the remaining, 150 million people, 110 million have STDs. Wow. All right. So where are we going to go next? Well, here's where we go next. Okay, here's where we go next. The Unitarians. Okay, the Unitarians. Okay, you understand? The Unitarians are liberal. Can we say that? They've been liberal since roughly John Locke. The Unitarians are really on the edge, friends. They're even ahead of the Church of Christ. They're ahead of the PCUSA. Okay, they're talking about this polyamory stuff. So, again, where are we going after civil unions? The governor of Colorado just signed civil unions. So once you say, okay, we're pulling out the stops here. We're no longer submitting ourselves to the laws of God and the standards of God's laws. Right now, we are floating free, baby, all over the ethical seas of relativism. We're going to see how things work out. But, Dave, apparently, there's a pretty active element of the Unitarian Church that is fighting for polyamory. Now, we're not going to talk too much about what that involves.
But the word poly means many, and that's probably all we need to know.
Oh, yeah, many, and involves marriage. Okay, so
amory.
Yeah.
It involves amory.
Yeah. And apparently here in the article, Dave, the only line worth reading on the air, the church has taken no official position on this as yet. So, anyway, for what it's worth, the church has not taken any official position on that. I wonder if they've taken any official position on cannibalizing the members of the church. I wonder if anybody's taken a position on that. Down at the Unitarian Church. Yep, riding the edge of autonomy in the 21st century. Okay, we'll see how things work out there. All right, now let's go to what I really wanted to talk about today. This is from CovenantEyes.com, Dave, because this applies to all of us. God calls us to sexual purity. And it seems to me that everybody's fighting this battle at some level. We just read a little bit from Heaven Taken by Storm this morning. Thomas Watson, Heaven Taken by Storm, great little Puritan book on, and the chapter was on how to go after the flesh. And it's all out war. And the book is Heaven Taken by Storm. So part of this idea of the violent take the kingdom by force is we go after our own flesh. And so we were reading about that. And so I'm looking at this Covenant Eyes article this morning, and I'm finding that, wow, these statistics are incredible. 9 out of 10 boys were exposed to pornography before the age of 18. Now, that was not the case with Almanza Wilder in 1890 when he was raised on his farm up in New York State. Okay, this is Little House on the Prairie. Almanza Wilder. Okay, farmer boy didn't have access to pornography. Okay, now this comes in some of the dark alleys in the 1920s. It shows up in the 1950s, 1960s through Playboy. And so, if you're 18 or 19 or 20 years of age and you're able to talk the guy at the 7-Eleven to grab a copy of it and sell it to you across the counter, you could get it. You could say, yeah, I'm a dirty old man and I like pornography, so hand me one of those magazines. Awkward. It was awkward for a grown adult to access pornography for many, many years. Wasn't something that just happened for everybody. Wasn't accessible to everybody.
It
was hard for a 14-year-old. Harder for a 14-year-old to get a hold of this stuff.
Absolutely. It wasn't at their desktop at work.
Yeah. It wasn't on 147 million computers.
It wasn't in the commercials at the Super Bowl. Kind of a soft version right now. In fact, back in those days, it cost money. You actually had to part with some greenbacks, it cost you some shame, as you said, some embarrassment, some awkwardness. And there were strict limits. You know, a magazine had to be published on paper, and it only had 60 pages or how many ever pages it had, and then it was done. The internet now brings a whole new era in which things are free. You can hide your shame, and there is no limit.
And there's no shame. There's hardly any shame left. 9 out of 10 boys accessing pornography by the time they're 18 years of age. Some of these statistics are incredible, my friends. Men are 543% more likely to look at porn than females. No surprise there. Regular church attenders are 26% less likely to look at porn than non-attenders. But those self-identified as fundamentalists are 91% more likely to look at porn. That's one of the more surprising statistics. Again, this comes from CoverHonest.com.
Or at least they're more honest.
They may be. Yeah, you're right. It's possible, but I'm guessing this is some kind of a blind study of some sort. This is Paul Fishbein of Adult Video News commenting here. Porn doesn't have a demographic. It goes across all demographics. After an analysis of 400 million web searches, researchers concluded that 1 in 8 of all searches online are for erotic content. And more than half of boys, nearly a third of girls, see their first pornographic images before they turn 13 years of age. A survey of hundreds of college students, 93% of boys, 62% of girls said they were exposed to pornography before they turned 18. The same survey, 83% of boys, 57% of girls said they saw some pretty significant pornography stuff. It's common for young people to use porn. Between 64 and 68% of young adults and 18% of women use porn at least once every week. Another 17% of men, another 30% of women use porn 1 to 2 times per month, meaning 80% of boys, of young men, 80%. This one shocked me. This is the statistic the most shocking. 80%, 8 out of 10 young boys. And my guess is, Dave, it's not that much different in the church. It says 27% less in the church, but that's almost nothing. 80% of boys are hanging out with pornography at least once a month. 80%. 80% doing porn at least once a month. That's huge. Which means, Dave, they're on porn. They're on it. They're addicted. They're connected to it.
Well, we want to be careful about using words like addicted. That has chemical meanings. It's a problem. It's a sin. It's a sin addiction.
And it's a regular sin. My point is, it's a regular sin.
It's a regular sin.
It comes up regularly. It's not like, you know, one time in a year. This is something that's happening on a regular basis in this young man's life. He's going back to it. 80% of young men going back to it on a regular basis. That, my friends, is going to produce a huge percentage of young boys that are not going to have functional sexual lives with their wives. Now, Dave, is there truth to that statement?
There is truth to that statement. All you have to do is look at the rise of commercials, especially during sporting events, for this condition that it seems to be big enough to support advertising. They call it ED. We don't need to go into what it is, but it's man parts not functioning.
It's all over the place. Dave, my wife and I go to this restaurant. It's the only really super decent restaurant in Elizabeth, which is out on the Eastern Plains, and there's a population of like 3,000.
You got two pizza restaurants.
Yeah, but we got to kind of go a little further to the golf course. And about, you know, 10 miles out of town, we got a golf course, and they've got a little restaurant. It's a very nice restaurant, some of the best food in the county. So I take my wife there, and there's these TVs all over the place because it's a golf feel, okay? So there's golf playing everywhere. Almost every single advertisement is sort of embarrassing. I don't know. It's embarrassing for me because I'm sitting there. Apparently, I mean, they're selling Viagra and everything else, okay? Mm-hmm. We'll just say that. We'll just go that far. And it's almost every advertisement. At least, for, you know, every time I glance up, it seems like they're playing another Viagra ad.
Right.
No, this is, what is this? Is this dysfunctionality? Is there something dysfunctional about men?
Well, this is a side effect.
Don't go into any details.
This is a side effect of men being aroused differently than men have ever been aroused in the past.
Yeah.
They find out that women are beautiful. They see that, but then they find out that real women have personalities. They talk. They have a voice. Mm-hmm. They have smells. They have taste. They feel differently.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not their experience. They haven't mapped that experience right. And so the experience with the real woman is not as efficacious as the imaginary experiences become. And so we're having record rates of young men Now, we're not talking about the 70, 80-year-old that has other issues going on. Yeah. We're talking about young men here are now having intimacy issues
what you're saying
with
is
real people.
They're pretty well ruined by the time they're 30 years of age. Now, not all of them. Not all of them. When we just said 80%, okay? So it's not all. And there are exceptions. I mean, it's not everybody who actually happened upon some pornography that's going to be messed up for life. Many of them will be, though. In fact, I would say, Dave, a majority of them will be. I mean, that's my assessment, as a majority of young men will be messed up at 30 years of age and not all that marriageable. You follow me?
Well, they're not getting married anyway. They're not getting married anyway. The institution of marriage is dying quickly. Kevin, I was watching a lecture on the TEDx networks by this guy named Gary Wilson. He says we're doing an experiment, a social experiment here, the likes of which has never, ever been attempted in human history.
Mm-hmm.
He was responding to a survey by Philip Zimbardo, who was looking to look at the effects of porn. Now, in order to do a real scientific study, you have to have somebody who's on like a drug and somebody who's not on the drug. And the people who are not on the drug, that's called your control group. He could not locate college age control group, a significant number of people, to be a control group for his study. They're not there.
Meaning people who haven't done it.
In other words, this entire male population in North America and Europe right now mm-hmm. is being seduced into this web of porn. And we can talk about what porn is because it's changed over the years. But right now, the current iteration of it that comes with the high-speed internet, this kind of thing has never happened in the history of the human race.
Mm-hmm.
And where it's going to lead, I don't know exactly, but I'm thinking it's not going to end well.
Okay, here's another statistic I want to get back to. I just mentioned this a couple minutes ago. 91%, I mean, if you're a fundamentalist, you have a 91% higher chance that you're doing porn than somebody who's not. Okay, so in other words, that's almost double. That's almost double. So if, there's 27% of this group doing porn, it'd be 54% if you're a fundamentalist doing that level of pornography, according to this survey that's available at CovenantEyes.com. And, Dave, a couple reasons for this, I think. And I think we need to think about this for a moment, because sometimes I think the church is accused of hypocrisy, and for good reason. Churches are filled with sinners, and as you said many times, there's always room for one more. So
yeah.
If you're a hypocrite, you sin.
Come on down.
You'll be a part of us, and we're all repenting here, and which means we're turning, which means there's a direction, not perfection.
Right.
It's the first thing we got to remember. But I think a couple reasons. Number one reason is that Christians typically aren't getting married as early as they should. In other words, young men. We'll talk about why young men, perhaps from fundamentalistic homes or fundamental Christian homes, they attend the church, and they're not getting married because they go to college. They're part of the zeitgeist. Most everybody's not getting married until they're 28, 29, 30 years of age. And here's the problem. They're burning. They need to get married. They have sexual reasons for getting married, mm-hmm. but they're not getting married because they got to go to college, they got to get a job, they got to get established, they got to get out of debt, they got to go through the ritual that the world is going through. The world doesn't care because the world's having sex everywhere. I can have sex with married women now, according to Hickenlooper. I can have sex wherever it wants to have sex, and the world doesn't care. There's no shame. They can just drag it all out in front of everybody. There's been no shame since Hester Prynne told everybody in the Scarlet Letter that there's no shame. So, that's been around since about 1850, okay?
So that
message has been sold good and hard and strong for a long, long time in our public schools and our media. So, now, you got the world having sex anywhere they want to. Christians still have a conscience. They don't want to, drag it all out in front of everybody. And so what do, Dave? They hide in the basement. Generally speaking, real sexual experiences are pretty much open to the public. You can't hide that. Eventually it comes out. But I think in the mind of a lot of these people, they feel that they can hide it in the basement. And then they wind up, of course, more often than not, hearing a message like what we're talking about right now, or you're hearing the pastor who brings it out and says, we got to deal with this. No fornicator shall be a part of the kingdom of God, and so forth and so on. And they go, oh man, that's me. And they gotta repent. And then they struggle. They take all their cold showers. And then 6 months later, they're back doing it again. Now, of course, Dave, the solution is that they could just get married. And so here's the problem. The problem is the college scene. The problem is they don't see that they're supposed to develop a different social system, a different socioeconomic system, and they're supposed to be mentored into life, especially boys. Boys need to be mentored into life by grown men, and that's what I've been doing for the last 4 to 5 years. And, Dave, I was pleased that we had two young men, and you've got one in your church getting married here in a few months. We had two young men getting married. Both of them happened to have been a part of our Shepherd Center over the last 3 to 4 years. One was, I think, 20 years old. The other, 22 years old. Mm-hmm. And I that was incredibly positive. And I think you've got a young man like 19 or 20.
He's 20.
He's 20. Getting married here in a few weeks. Me or months. Now, so what we're saying is we're trying to change the social trend ourselves.
Right.
It's tough. But we're trying to give these young men a vision for just getting on with it,
right.
Getting married, getting on with life.
I think it's real important. We just don't go out and beat him with a rod right now. We should have a little compassion for young men. They're being titillated by culture everywhere.
Yes.
Even if you don't watch the ED ads, if you just see the shots of the cheerleader, the girls who are walking down the street, the advertisements, the television programs, the movies, it is constant. And the message to them.
It's a bombardment.
The message to them is, especially to a young man, is highly erotic.
Yes. Yes. And he's being programmed. They're trying to program him to do this kind of stuff.
So he's being constantly titillated. And then... Now, his peers who are not Christian, who have no shame when it comes to fornication, they might be able to go on dates and do their hookups and do them sort of things, but he at least has enough of a conscience that he's not doing it. Now, he's burning, and the reasons for his burning are many and cultural and real, and we can't say that, you know, just suck it up and become a eunuch here. He's not called to singleness.
Yeah.
So then... We then impose a delay on him. Well, you can't get married until you graduate college, you've completed your first year of work, you've got a down payment on the house. This guy's burning. Now, how's he going to complete college when a good 30% of his brain is being occupied on something else?
And 80% of the girls are loose in the college scene or whatever it happens to be.
They're advertising.
And 117 million of them have venereal disease. And they're advertising, not the venereal disease, but the other part of it.
Right.
So what's he to do? What's he to do now? Dave, the solution, I think, is exactly what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7. It's better to marry than to burn. That's a biblical solution. Nothing wrong with that solution.
Right. It's a great solution.
A little accountability on the side can be helpful, and covenant eyes memberships are important and all the others.
It can be.
But and some transparency with other brothers in Christ, you know, and that's all helpful. But I think ultimately, Dave, marriage is where we need to go with this. And then the second thing is something that you mentioned quite a bit, and that is, you know, be sure that you are cultivating a healthy sexual relationship with your own wife.
Well, let's say that the Bible gives its full endorsement to marriage. He who finds a wife finds a good thing. It's not good that the man be alone. Let the marriage bed be holy. The Bible is pro-marriage. It's pro-sex in marriage. The church has been too silent on this for too long, coming out of the celibacy message of the Middle Ages. We're pro-marriage. Now, we got to prepare our young men for marriage, and I think we're failing here. One of the things I think we're failing at, Kevin, as the church, is we're trying to teach our boys to be good men, but we're not teaching them to be good at being men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not teaching them how to have authority of their household, how to have authority over their wife. And we're disguising it. We're calling it chivalry, but we've missed the mark. Because chivalry is when a stronger man, a man of authority, bows down and helps out somebody who's weaker, does an act of kindness from strength. A man who is weaker in a weaker position, that's subservience. And that's not good. That's not good at being a man. Right now we have a culture where men are being subservient to women. I mean, would you want to marry a woman who's going to take control of you?
Yeah. And Dave, much of this pornography ultimately is men moving into the subservient position. And
well, they become slaves to the pornography. So yes.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Where they're looking at an idea, there's this thing going on in their mind where they now believe there is a woman who is available and open to them. The problem is that woman is controlling them. Mm-hmm. She becomes the wrong woman in Proverbs. Mm-hmm. She becomes a Proverbs 5 woman. Her steps lead to death. What we need to do is we need to do a better job of raising our young men to be men and to be good men. But to be a good man, you have to be good at being a man. In other words, you have to be good at responsibility. You have to be good at taking initiative, doing things because they need to be done. A man who understands a chain of authority and knows his place in that chain.
Well, friends, if anything, let's encourage some level of transparency. Let's encourage some willingness on the part of parents and pastors to just stand up and say, hey, let's point these things out and say these are sins. These are the temptations of the day. and let's go after them. Let's engage the battle with the flesh, the world, the devil. If not, you'll be consumed by it. Hey, look at what's happening to the world. The world is passing away together with its lusts and desires, but by faith we overcome the world. That's what John says. So let's encourage our people with strong faith in Christ and a willingness to confess sins. Just to come out and say, this is what I'm doing. This is what I've done, and I'm wrong. I know this is wrong. I need to apologize to the people I've hurt. And friends, the more confession like that happens within our churches, the better it's going to be. And of course, let's just follow through on some of these biblical principles. And give your children the book of Proverbs. Help them to recognize who the temptress is. And be sure that your children know the book of Proverbs inside and out, and that you're applying it. Not just you're, you know, watching that TV show, or as you're running by that billboard and you happen to see whatever disgusting thing they're showing, these, or the Time magazine. On the cover of Time magazine, there's more disgusting things happening. I just saw that on this morning. Pointing out, saying, well, there's another example of how God's law is being violated, and that appears to be right there, the Proverbs 5 woman. And notice how she's drawing men in. She just draws men in by her looks, by her pouty lips, by this, by that. Be sure that you're doing Proverbs with your children. I mean, you're teaching it as you sit in the house, as you walk by the way, as you rise up, as you lie down. That's why I've done a series of family Bible study guides on the book of Proverbs, available at our website, kevinswanson.com. Again, if you don't have this, friends, this is the most basic stuff for life. If your children have not been prepared with the book of Proverbs to address that world out there, shame on you, parents. Be sure that your children understand this book inside and out. Our family Bible study guides are available at my website, kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.